3, 2, 1. What's going on, folks? Welcome to 34 Questions. I am your host, 34, and tonight we have Coop in the building. How you doing tonight, Coop?
I'm doing good, hanging in there.
For sure, man.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you for being here, making time for this interview. Definitely appreciate your energy, man. For you and for the folks out there who are unfamiliar with the flow of the show, we just break it down for you. So typically we do a warm-up, start off. After the warm-up, we'll jump into an icebreaker. After the icebreaker, we'll get to the main meat of the interview, where we'll spin the wheel, whichever number it lands on, that's how the conversation will flow. And after that, we'll finish out with some closeout questions. Sound good to you?
Sounds good.
All right. Well, before we do all that, man, I just want to ask you, how you been? You've been doing well. You've been doing great. How you been lately, man?
Yeah, I've been good overall. Definitely, you know, stressed out with the with teaching and everything that comes with it. But overall, I've been doing good. You know, sure. I think it's healthy stress at this point.
I got you, man. I'm gonna say you hide it very well. I can never tell when you're stressed at our workplace. But yeah, so kudos to that. What's good stress mean to you, though?
I mean, like, ultimately, like, I chose to take on this stress, if that makes sense. Like, really, if I didn't want to be teaching, mm-hmm. and I didn't want that stress, I could stop. And so I think it's stress that I chose, and so that makes it feel like good stress, you know.
I know what you mean.
Keeps me motivated, yeah.
Instead of, like, stress that's being put upon you that you didn't choose.
Yeah.
Now I hear you. You know, it's interesting. I don't know if I've ever told you, but I'm the kind of person who's had 20-ish jobs in my lifetime. Was trying to figure out what I really wanted to do, what stress I really wanted to choose. Yeah, I've been reading an audiobook. I haven't been reading, but I've been listening to an audiobook lately that kind of talks about that, how, you know, you can do as many jobs as you want, but there's always going to be stress in any job. So you really just got to choose what shit you want to go through.
Yeah.
And be happy with that.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's something you could take, man, because we need more teachers like you for sure.
Yeah.
I know it can get hard sometimes.
Yeah.
But I hear
definitely.
You.
Definitely.
Well, let's jump into the warm up. My first question for you in the warm up is, what would you like the audience to know about you? Like, I know we've worked for a while, but I don't know. I can't say I really know you. So what's something you would like the audience to know about
you? I would say the biggest thing is that I like to think of myself as a very, like, thoughtful person. As you can even tell right now, like, this question, like, I make sure that I say exactly what I want to say. I take a lot of time to process what's in front of me, observe. So that's kind of the biggest thing about me, is that I don't take anything lightly, or don't take anything as, like, a joke necessarily, unless it's clear that, you know, we're just kind of joking around. But most of the time I'm very thoughtful in terms of kind of my interactions with people and anything like that.
You think that's something you've always had, or something that you grew into at older?
I think a little bit of both. I think early on in my life, it started as more of just a necessity. Like, I wanted to take the time to, like, you know, understanding social situations, understanding how people operated, didn't necessarily come, like, super straightforward to me. And so it's something that I had to really be intentional about. And then over time, it just kind of became part of me, I guess, something that I do on default.
Sure. And I don't know if you can. Sometimes I try to do this similar thing. I think we vibe well. And maybe it's because we both are thoughtful people. But how do you recognize, okay, this guy, or, you know, this person might be as thoughtful.
Yeah.
If you
that's a good question. I think oftentimes it's when, like, initial interactions, you know, people kind of, when people take, I don't know if it's take interest, but when people kind of give me a chance to warm up to a situation and, you know, feel comfortable, I can tell that, you know, they're not just taking me on face value. And that kind of shows me that maybe, you know, they're more thoughtful, kind of like-minded to me in that sort of way.
I hear you, man. One of the most exciting parts, I feel like, in our job is when I can see that in a student, I'm like, oh, man, for sure. Like, it's great to see you already thinking about how other people might feel or how they might take things and being very considerate, right? I wouldn't say it's rare, but it's refreshing to get that from a young person.
Yeah, no, I, as you said that, like, people came to mind and stuff, which was awesome. I definitely love seeing that in my students. Makes the job so much better.
For sure. Like, I don't know if you ever had those moments. I know for me, it's all like, man, nobody's getting it. Like, no one's understanding. Yeah. And then when you see a kid kind of step up and kind of tell you, like, nah, like, I understand, or I feel you. They don't call me Mr. Jan or anything like that, but
yeah,
yeah, they definitely, you know, they recognize what we're trying to do and energy we bring, and they kind of reciprocate that, which is, yeah, I'm grateful for all of you guys who do that.
Yeah, me too.
My next question for you in the warm-up is, how would you like to be honored? So if there was a way I could express the energy you possess, what sort of act could you do? And let me know if you need me to elaborate on it.
I want to be honored. Is this, like, anyone in general, or, like, you know, like, if I have, like, children one day, like, who are we thinking about?
The way I frame it is, if you moved away, then your family and friends on your birthday was like, man, we miss Coop. But we want to do something to make him feel like he's with us, or, you know, still around.
Yeah. Good question. I think it'd be like, eat some really good food. I'm big into, I love food, I love eating.
Sure.
Almost to a detriment at some points. But I'd say it'd be like, have a good meal and, you know, just like enjoy each other's time and company. I think that's something that I really enjoy doing, is just hanging out with my friends. Like, I'm not into really going out or anything like that. I like to just kind of post it up at home, maybe go out to eat or something like that, or order in and just chill. I think that's what it would be for me, and, you know, really be there for one another.
I gotcha. Is there a particular restaurant or food that we should hit?
Ooh. Let's see. So I live in Marin, and there's this Italian restaurant that I've gone to for, like, all of my birthdays and stuff growing up. And it's called Il Davide, and it is outside of Italy, which luckily I've been fortunate enough to go to twice. It's some of the best Italian food that I've ever had, and so that's probably my favorite restaurant of all time. Anytime, I'm happy to get it.
I'm gonna have to get that spelling from you at some point, but
yeah,
you're saying that it's a restaurant in Marin, but you've been to the other one, Italy?
No. Okay. So I've been to it. It's in Marin. I've gone to it growing up, and, like, the food at that restaurant, it rivals food that I've had in Italy itself.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Damn. All right. I will, let me get that spelling from you another
I'm
time.
I'll definitely send it your way.
Marin wise, I don't think I've been to a lot of places out there. Except there's this one place I remember last year. I don't know if you might have heard of this place. Super fancy. It was for my partner's parents' like anniversary. You had to dress up, and like it's kind of like a showroom ish at the first floor, where like they have really expensive furniture. And it, everything there, like you could sit on and enjoy, but it's in the purpose of like, oh, buy this. And then when you go to the second and third floor is actually like a restaurant spot.
Yeah. Have you heard? I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I haven't been. If I'm thinking of the same place, I've been around into the, like the lower level, sat on all the couches and stuff, but I haven't gone to the restaurant yet.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't pick up the bill, so I can't tell you what it would look like. But it was definitely good. And yeah, Marin's definitely just an area I need to explore more when it comes to just everything else. Like, I'll probably ask you later on what was one of the funner things you were doing as a kid out there. We'll get there. My last question for you in the warm-up is, on a scale from 1 to 10, how well do you know yourself?
I want to say that it's somewhere around like a 7 or 8. I think I do a pretty good job of trying to, you know, be aware of myself and learn. But also, I feel like as I'm doing that reflecting, I'm kind of growing simultaneously. And so I feel like there's always like a little bit that I'm still kind of learning consistently.
I gotcha. When was the last time you would say you surprised yourself? Where you're like, oh, what? That's me? I didn't know that. Maybe something you were feeling kind of anxious about. And when you got through it, you're like, damn, you impressed yourself in a way.
I mean, for me, it's every day. Like, being a teacher is something that I did not think, especially being an English teacher, I did not think that was going to happen. And so pretty much every day I'm like, that's something that I can fall back on, is like, I'm doing something I never thought that I would do or could do. And that's, I don't know, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, man, that's wild. What inspired you to get into teaching, since you kind of seemed like you didn't expect this, but here you are now. Yeah.
So I got real, like, I guess the real spark of like wanting to work with people. I always played sports growing up in high school, and I was usually like a team captain, just kind of, I would always watch kind of what my coaches were doing and try to imitate that, but from my perspective as a player, and try to, I don't know, I felt like they were modeling good behavior. And so I tried to do the same. And then eventually that translated into, you know, with some life that happened after high school, which I imagine we can get into later, but I ended up teaching, or I ended up coaching at the high school that I went to after my first year of during my first year of college, and kept doing that for a couple years. And then as I started to get some like academic success and try to finally start to figure things out, I was like, maybe I should be a teacher. Like, I like working with young people, and so that's kind of how I ended up here.
Gotcha. And was English something you chose, or something that was just kind of put upon you to be doing that?
Well, I really like writing. So I kind of, and just being able to express myself with words, typically in more like creative avenues. But funny enough, I actually, when I was going to become a teacher and kind of made that decision, I was thinking either English or music, because I did my undergrad in music, and like the tests that I have to pass in order to get my credential I passed the English one, but did not pass the music one. So it kind of made my choice for me, but
But for sure, as someone who's a fan of writing or as a writer themselves, I do want to ask if you have any favorite quotes, but you can chew on that. We'll get to that. I'll bring it back at the end of the pod.
Okay.
All right, man. Okay. I think we made it to the icebreaker portion of the pod. So let me pull that up. You will have 34 seconds to go through this little icebreaker. You get to choose. Would you rather do a this or that or a word association?
What does the word association look like?
I give you a word and then you just give me a word or phrase that pops into your head.
Okay. I think I'm going to do the this or that.
I gotcha.
Okay.
Here we go. And then after the 34 seconds, I'll probably dig in a little deeper on a couple of you.
Okay.
Here we go. In 3, 2, 1, vacation or staycation?
Staycation.
Sort by price or sort by rating?
Sort by rating.
Hang out with little kids or hang out with old folks?
Hang out with little kids.
Group hangout or one-on-one hangout?
I would say group hangout.
See the future or change the past?
See the future.
Growth or security?
I would say growth.
Gotcha. Let's start off there. Why did you choose growth?
I think most of my life, things have been very secure. I've been fortunate enough in that way. And so I think at this point in my life, I think I already feel very secure in everything that I'm doing. And so growth is something that, I think I'm ready for at this point in my life.
I gotcha. Is there any particular way that you've been wanting to grow? Is there anything, new skills that you've been trying to build? It doesn't have to be work-related. It could just be a personal.
Yeah. I think it's something that kind of like works its way into both facets of my life. But just being organized, I think, is something that I would really like to have in my kind of in my repertoire, both personally and professionally, like just being able to, you know, whether it's my thoughts or like my my house or my, you know, my apartment, I should say, or like my workflow, like in my job, I think organization is something that I really want to, you know, get better at.
I got you. And is this correct me if I'm wrong, is this your first year teaching or?
Yeah. Yep.
I got you. I think, you know, if you're feeling a little disorganized right now, it's one of those things that you won't know or won't really learn until after the first year. You could kind of see the rhythm. when I mentioned earlier about having 20 jobs, I never really stayed longer than a year, right? And it wasn't until this job at Burton where, you know, I actually left. I was there 2017, left after a year, and then I came back 2021. And I've been there for like 3 years. And it's crazy. I kind of missed out on the whole like, oh, wow. Like after one full cycle or one full year, kind of figure out what, you know, what to expect. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, every October, every January, it's like this feeling or what the kids are getting into. So I think the organization you're looking for is going to get there. But you're going to really see it, I guess, during your summer planning. Okay, this is what I did last year, what you want to keep, what you want to change. And as long as you keep teaching, that organization is just going to get there. And when I see teachers who've been teaching for like 20 years, it's like, man, they could do this, you know, in their sleep. They know exactly what's going on. And hopefully, you know, we got teachers helping you out at our workplace. I can never say the name, you know.
Yeah.
Try to keep it private. Yeah. I got you. And then the other one I want to ask you about is hanging out with little kids or old folks. You said little kids. Why little kids?
I don't know. I think it's just about kind of the everything is more, I guess, exciting because things are like newer and ideas are newer. And I don't know if it, maybe it's a little cynical, but there's just, I feel like less of a understanding of how kind of potentially difficult life can get. And I don't know, there's just kind of a refreshingness about it. I don't know, it's just, it's conversation with, you know, young people, and I've always felt a little, I guess, easier to have in a sense.
For sure. You know, I was speaking to other teachers on this podcast, one of them, you know, asked me that question, like, why do you like working with kids so much? And they kind of put a perspective on me that I thought really resonated, was that, like, it feels like when you talk to kids, like, the future is unlimited, right? There's the possibilities are endless. And then when, unfortunately, working with adults, we get so boxed in with responsibilities and just life kind of happens where we don't have those possibilities anymore.
Yeah.
It's kind of, we're kind of like just stuck with the story that we're creating. And I definitely feel that after working so many jobs and being around people who, I don't know, for me, you know, with this podcast and other stuff like Hella Hungry, that's, for me, those are still possibilities. But when I talk to adults, I ask them, like, oh, what else would you rather do if you wasn't going to be here working? Like, conversation gets harder to have. For them, it's really like, well, this is all I really got, or this is, you know, what's going to keep me secure. So it's hard. And for me, like, I want to let them know that the dream's not dead. You know, you could still do the things you want to do. And then it's very like, no, I don't think so.
Yeah. No, I hear that. Speaking of which, you mentioned you left Burton for a while and then came back. Yeah. What made you decide to come back?
Dude. So 2017, I was probably at my like 15th or 16th job, right? And I came to Burton.
Yeah.
I was there. I loved it. It was great. I had a great team. Things were flowing. I was an assistant site coordinator at the time. And there was a thing that happened where like our funding was changing. And one of my bigger bosses was like, oh, you know, this position might not be the same, or, you know, things might change after this school year, which kind of scared me in a way. But also because I had so much confidence at the time, because working there and having, you know, some success, I was like, okay, cool. Maybe I could do whatever I'm doing here, creating something fun for young people. I should be able to do it with. So I found a position that got me excited. It was like office people fund manager. That was the title of it. And I was I was hyped. I was like, okay. And then it'll be my first salary job. So like, I really thought it was at a startup too. So I was like, cool, I'll have this opportunity to do what I've been doing with kids, with adults. Then I got there and it was one of those things where I realized in a job interview, you're selling yourself as much as a job is selling themselves as well. So I get there, realize, okay, maybe this isn't what I thought it was going to be. And it was very humbling. And I don't think at the time I could have just called my old boss and been like, can I come back? I felt like I would have been a failure if I had done that. So I was like, let me just keep it moving forward. And I had four more jobs after that experience. And I don't know, man, every job I went to, I kept talking about Burton. I kept talking about like, oh, this is what I used to do and all the things that I could do. And then at a certain point, I remember, I think it was during COVID, I was very reflective moments for me. And I was like, man, if I could just get a chance to come back, you know, I'd definitely appreciate it a lot more. That's at that time. Luckily, there was a couple people on the team that currently, or last year who was there when I was there. So they kind of vouched for me. They were kind of like, mm-hmm. oh, this guy, he's been here before, da, da, da. So, yeah, I mean, I came back because I really missed it. And, like, after all the jobs I ever had, I was like, okay, I think now I know it, what I like and what I don't like. And this community in particular reminds me a lot of my high school experience. You know, we weren't the best high school community, smaller community. And the biggest thing is that we had adults who cared, even though the school wasn't that great. So all those, like, factors is really, like, this is where I need to be at the time. So I'm happy to be back. It's cool to see, like, some people move up the ladders and lots of different things. But I remember coming back just feeling like, okay, I can't come back thinking it's going to be the way it used to be, which it wasn't. And the one thing about COVID was, like, in my mind, I was thinking about how much school was going to change, or, like, how education had potential to, like, you know, try new things. And so when I found out things were going back in person, I waited until things got back into person, apply and get back in there.
Yeah.
So, and when I got back, it really felt like a fresh slate. The team I'm working with now kind of, I think they recognized what I was trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we met eye to eye on that kind of perspective of, like, okay, try all the different things that you want to do.
Yeah.
See what works. So yeah, I think that's why I came back. Just to feel the energy of young folks again. And for that reason, possibilities are endless, because there's still a lot of things that I'm trying to do outside of just my day job.
Yeah.
I think, you know, when I talk to kids about it, they're like, oh yeah, for sure, you could
yeah.
do these things. Aside from I talk with adults, they're like, you should be thinking about X, Y, and Z. You should be settling down. And there's value to that, for sure.
Yeah.
It's just that that's what I wasn't looking for. And, you know, I'm really grateful and, you know, appreciative to be able to have that chance back. There was a time there where I was like, I was working at a different school right before Burton. And it was very different. I don't know if you ever heard of Edgewood, but it's in the city, way smaller school. But that's very more like, I was a behavioral technician, so I was working with students more one-on-one.
I
remember sitting there like, this is cool, but man, if I could just get that up. And luckily or fortunately I did, and that's why I got back.
Awesome.
Yeah, and I'm glad our paths were able to kind of cross at our stories at the same time.
Too.
All right, dog, I think we made it to the LeFay portion of the pod. Let me pull up the wheel. LeFay. So you'll have give the wheel a spin, and whichever number it lands on might get heavy. So if you feel like you don't want to talk about it, if it's too personal, feel free to pass.
Okay.
You can just give it a
cool.
Here you go. First number is 20. This question is, how do you express yourself?
So for, I'm very musically, I don't know if I would say I'm musically inclined, but I definitely am into all things music as a fan, as a, you know, as a participant. And so a lot of how I've expressed myself, kind of in my young adulthood has been through music, music production, and also like songwriting. So that's one of the main ways that I express myself.
Do you have stuff online?
I do. I actually have an entire, it's like a, I want to say 9 or 10 song album. And all of my students, they know that I have music out there, and they all want to listen to it. But it's one of those things where I don't know if I'm ready to cross that.
I hear that.
Have that line get crossed yet. I keep telling them, like, you know, if you have an entire semester with no missing assignments, or, you know, something like that, then I'll share it. But my guess would it'll be like when you're no longer my student.
I mean, it's tough, right? Because then once you have seniors that graduate and then you share it with them, what's stopping them from sharing it with the younger kids?
But yeah,
I hear you.
Yeah,
maybe one day. That's something to learn. I understand. My first dream growing up was to be a rapper. So I do have some songs out there as well. But I'm more of the conscious rapper, so there's nothing too like crazy out there where people are like, oh, he teaches kids. It's very for me, it's very introspective. Even to this day, it's still music is, or at least writing rhymes, and if I really have something heavy on my heart that I need to get out, I don't know why. Mm-hmm. It's easier for me to make it rhyme in a song versus me just saying it out loud. Like I need to sound cool, you know?
Yeah. No, I hear that.
Well, you don't gotta tell me. Did you go by a stage name? So it's like harder for kids to even find it.
Yeah.
You don't have to say it. You don't have to say it.
Yeah. So I do. You know, I do go by the stage name, and you know, I'm not very popular, so like, it would take some
digging.
Some digging. But yeah, no, I hear what you're saying about that. I think for me, I kind of got into, I'm very into rap and hip hop. That's what I listen to predominantly. I grew up more, my dad's actually a drummer, like a blues drummer. And so that's kind of how I got into music, was a drummer as well. And so I got, you know, as I got older, I got exposed to rap and hip hop, and that the kind of the rhythmic aspect of it just really like felt right. And so that's kind of the music that I was making. And so I primarily got into rapping because I loved making beats, but I had no one to rap over them. And so I was like, I guess I have to, like, I'm going to do it myself. And, you know, I enjoyed the kind of reflective aspect of that writing. You know, I kind of, there's definitely some things that, like, looking back on it, maybe weren't as authentic to, like, my personality as when I look back on it, I would have liked.
For sure.
But at the same time, I think, you know, this was when I was 18 to 21, 22, the time when I was really just kind of figuring out, all right, like, what am I going to be? Like, who am I going to be? I had a chance to kind of, like, after high school, like, kind of change up my perception of who I am, but also, you know, I think I was a little bit consumed with like how others were going to, you know, how others would perceive me, and I wanted to be cool.
Sure. Yeah.
So, but yeah.
No, I got you. I mean, I started rapping when I was 12. Then I was very much idolizing gangsta hip hop back in the day when I was growing up. So yeah, definitely not indicative of my personality or who I was authentically at the time. But yeah, as I got older, I kept chasing the dream for a while, man. I was, again, this Audible book I've been listening to, it's been smacking me in the face, because it talks about how, like, some people, they're just in love with the image, they're in love with, like, you know, what it takes, or what ends up being the result, but not in love with the work. And I was definitely not in love with the work. I don't know. I thought I was going to be a SoundCloud rapper that has a hit, and that's going to, you know, be my rocket ship to the charts.
Yeah.
Instead of really thinking about, like, oh, you got to do shows like every day. You got to be out there getting your music out, having people recognize your name. That's really the true way people are going to find out about you, which I wasn't in love with that part of the job description. So never really could take those next steps. But for you, you ever do shows, or was it all just kind of like recording and putting it out there?
Yeah, so it was primarily just recording and putting it out there. But I did actually in my I have a couple performances. I performed a lot like as a drummer. But as a rapper, I've been up on stage. And what was the biggest thing for me is I feel almost no nerves when I'm playing the drums on stage. I don't know if it's because I've been doing it for so, like, I'd done it for so long and done it like really young. But when I was up there and like had to use my voice, all of a sudden, like, I didn't know, I wasn't in my element anymore. I was uncomfortable. It was super weird. And so I think that was kind of a turning point. And I kind of told myself, oh, it's because there weren't many people out there. Like, I didn't have the energy to kind of go off of. But then I realized, like, no, I have to create the energy. Like, you have to create the energy if you're the front man. Like, that's your kind of job. And so that was a wild experience.
Nah, for sure, man. I mean, if anyone out there is trying to be a musical artist or a performer, and I've done a show where it was one person. Like, I had my friend who organized it was like, oh, you want to be on, you know, you want to perform? I'm like, yeah, for sure, put me down. So I told my friends about it. Like, five friends came. So it was my five friends and the organizer at the show. So, you know, I was there like... It was a good experience, you know. I was out there. It's all practice, dude. Like, you're gonna have shows like that, regardless of how you're trying to come up. So yeah, it was funny though. I know my friends kind of joke about it still. Like, I remember that one time you performed for us.
That's funny.
But yeah, any other instruments besides drums, or drums is your thing?
I play piano too, but that's primarily for like a. More like songwriting and to help me get through like music education.
Gotcha.
I'm not great at it, but I'm it just doesn't come as easily to me, and so I've spent a lot more time like extremely frustrated trying to learn something.
For sure.
But I enjoy it.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever hear the kids that play the little piano in a bass in a student union, but I'm always surprised. I'm like, you could play that, and you know, it's something simple, but I get it. But yeah, it's always crazy to hear it. Were you ever one of those people that sees the open piano at like the mall or the airport? Like, you sit down and you just do something, and everyone's like,
no, I'm not confident enough to do that.
I got you.
I have friends who would like. Definitely would go and sit down and you know, play something, but me, I would be way too in my head, even though probably most of the people walking by aren't even gonna bat an eye. They're gonna have headphones in or whatever, but the what if of like, you know, are they gonna think? I could not do it.
I just need to master one song, man. I think that's one of my goals in life, is to master one song, one instrument. So like, if it's a piano song, if it's a guitar song, whatever it is, just one song that I can like do a, you know, party trick. People are gonna be like, oh wow, you do that. And I'm like, just this one.
it's a really when you have to like struggle through learning something, especially on a musical instrument, and then you can like play it to perfection or near perfection, it is a really good feeling. It is just really hard to get through that. Like, there's always like one part in every song that I've tried to learn where it just, I can't seem to get it, and I want to give up, or I do it once and then I think I have it, and then the next time I mess up. And it's rewarding. So I would definitely say pursue it. Pursue that frustration. It's a good frustration ultimately at the end of the day.
That should have been my first sign that maybe being a rapper or music career wasn't for me. It's like when I was a kid trying to learn the guitar, learn the piano, I gave up way too easily. Like, oh, my fingers are too short for the piano. Like, it's gonna be too hard. Or yeah, even with guitar, it's like, oh, this kind of hurts. So yeah, maybe not. And I turned to the pen. You know, it's like use my voice as my instrument. But yeah, I hear you, man. Let's give the wheel another spin.
Cool.
This one is number 32. Number 32 is what are you still dreaming about?
What am I still dreaming about? It's interesting. I'm trying to separate career things from dreams that I have.
I mean, it could be. I don't know if you want to. I don't know if you want to take it to like the medical, metaphysical sense of dream or more concrete like career dream.
Okay,
it's up to you. However you perceive it.
Well, I don't like when I'm sleeping. At least I don't remember too many of my dreams. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I don't know. But I think one of my biggest dreams, like for my life, is I don't know. I think kind of connects to why I'm a teacher. I would love for like someday when like one of my students is my age, you know, they're in a college class or they're, you know, reflecting back on their life. I would love for, you know, when they're thinking about their high school experience or their school experience, I would love more than anything for, you know, at least one student to think, you know, like, I'm happy that Mr. Coop was my teacher. Like, I feel like he cared. I feel like, you know, even if I wasn't ready yet, he did his best to try to help me access my own brain and my thoughts about the world. That would mean the world to me if one of my students had kind of that thought later in life.
It could happen, man. I'm not saying like it won't happen, because I'm pretty sure it will. I don't know if you ever feel like you're actively trying to do things or trying to make these connections with students or have them feel some sort of like a specific kind of way, but I mean, I'm lucky to be in a place where I don't think I'm trying. Like, that stuff that you're speaking of, if kids feeling a certain type of way, it's not something that I'm like, oh, I need to make a kid feel this way, right? It's like, I'm just doing my job and I'm being myself while I'm doing this. But eventually, you know, a kid or two will be like, hey, you know, Mr. Coop, I remember you, man. Thank you for being so chill and, you know, being so cool. That one thing you told me kind of stuck with me. And like, I don't know if you've had those moments just yet, but if you are, I think they will be one of those things. Like, it's just a seed, right? And then I think that's the great thing about working with kids too, is that when they mature and they're like, oh snap, because I still remember teachers that I had. I remember, you know, how they were, what their personalities were like. And I think that's why I do love working at a school, is because, you know, very similar vibes, man. Like, for like, even for you, I think you remind me of a teacher I had, and that's why it's like, why I know the energy's right. So very similar. I know for you, do you still remember teachers and coaches and stuff that, you know, left an impact?
So for me, it's a lot. It's mostly, I don't know, I remember both. I remember some teachers and I remember some coaches. I had one teacher. The reason that I actually wanted to teach 11th grade English is because I had one teacher who really like kind of shattered my expectations for what English class was going to be like. I'm someone who, even though I'm an English teacher, my preferred storytelling method is through like movies or TV shows. Like, I just, something about the combination of music, like the dialogue and the like visual of it, it really like connects with me, and I enjoy that a lot. And so this was the first English class that I've ever had that valued that kind of storytelling. And we still had the same kind of discussions and stuff that we would through, you know, more standard literature. But I just, that was really cool. And so that's something that I want to do eventually, is kind of shatter, you know, this is what English class is supposed to look like, and kind of dismantle that.
For sure.
Because I think, you know, the stereotype of English class is that it's boring. I mean, I felt that way for most of my life. So I don't want it to be boring, because it's like reading about, you know, thinking about, speaking about, writing about the world and like using your brain. That didn't click to me until later in life, but I think that's super exciting if you frame it the right way.
Nah, for sure. And what's tough about, I think, just working or being a teacher, and why I don't think I could ever do it, it's like you're given the goals by someone else, right? Someone's mm-hmm. like, you need to reach these objectives. And then and they give you, I'm not saying they put you in a box, but they give you certain tools, like this is what you have to work with. And yeah. It almost, like, for me, in my mind, feels limiting. It makes me feel like, man, but my creativity is like telling me to do X, Y, and Z, but you're telling me I can't do that because that's not the right way. So that's where I'm at with it. And yeah, kudos to you and all teachers who can still kind of finesse it or find a way to use your creativity with the things that you have. I think sometimes I hear you playing something, some kind of movie or show. But like, have you seen, I want to say it's probably too early to say that it's working, but mm-hmm. have you seen kids kind of see English in a different way? Your approach?
Not yet. Too I early? Also think part of that is because, you know, we are very big on like on collaborating, and I definitely do think that the way that I, like, if I could teach a class 100% my way, I don't even necessarily know that that would be a good thing. I think the collaboration that we do and the pushback that it, you know, at times I have, like, I give in curriculum meetings versus others give, I think ultimately is a really valuable process. And, you know, sure, what I like, the creative kind of teacher in me, would I like to just be able to fully kind of design something from scratch that's unlike anything that my students have done in English? Absolutely. And would love to just, you know, see how it works, see if it gets people motivated, and see if it gets people wanting to think more and communicate with others more. I would love to see that. But I think at this, you know, it's something that I've talked with my parents about, talked with my partner about, is I think at this point in my career, it's important for me to show that I can do, you know, kind of what's considered more best practice right now. Can I do that effectively? And once I can prove that, look, I can do this effectively, I think it works, but I want to try something to see if it works better, I think will be, you know, better in the long run for me and my development, but also you know, for my students as well, because it's risky to try some, you know, it can be risky to try something new and not really have another tool in your tool belt to fall back on if it doesn't work.
Not for sure. Yeah, yeah. I think you're learning the rules of the game. You're learning the system. And yeah, that takes time. And I'm running a recent graduate program. After this class graduates, I'm getting like a group of 6 or 7 to like work for the Y. But it's really for me to teach them about adulting.
Yeah.
You know, about the workforce.
So
definitely one of those lessons for me is like every job you go to, any industry you become a part of, there's always going to be these certain rules or like the system that you got to learn and, you know, figure out what stress you want to endure. Because, you know, it's never always going to be like, oh, this is my dream job. Great, it's your dream job. But are you ready for like the stresses of that dream job? Because if you start hating it, it's like, well, maybe that's not the job you really wanted or career. And that's for me. I was at jobs, and the reason why I never stayed is I would get frustrated. I'd be like, oh my God, the system you guys have built is like so archaic, and you got to try these new things. And they're like, no, dude, like, we're not going to change the whole system just because you think you could do better. And, part of it was very egotistical on my part. Maybe I was thinking like, oh, I could go in there and change the system, make things more efficient, better for everyone. When, you know, I'm not paid to do that. I'm paid to just be, you know, another gear that turns and gets everything rolling. So I hear you, man. I hope you don't get discouraged, as it's only your first year, your first run around. But, you know, I think you're right. As long as you can prove that, okay, you can make it work within the system. But can I try these little different things? And maybe that's the key, is to not do a big change right away, but maybe just do little things that test is going to work out or not. But yeah. Again, thank you, YMCA, for giving me a lot of freedom to try. That is one thing that I think even my bosses now have kind of like impressed on me, is that they do give me a chance to fail. But I think what they see in me is that, let's say I try something new for like semester, then I know for myself, I think I'm at a point where I can realize that. Like, I won't be like, oh no, we got to keep doing it this way. It's more like, okay, I see that that's wrong, or I see that it's not working. I need to do something different again. And I think that's what they appreciate about me, is that not very like, not telling myself I'm right all the time. Gotcha. All right, man. I think we're about to get to the closeout questions. But before we do that, I want you to take part of this one exercise, which is called the 34th mantra. It's I am, I can, I will. Give it a second to think about what you want to, how you want to fill that in. It's I am blank, I can blank, I will blank. Whenever you're ready, show you the universe so you can speak it out to the universe.
Okay.
Ready? You take your time.
I think so.
All right, here we go. You get out to the universe, man.
All right. So I am a teacher. I can be more than that. I can be, you know, I think I can be an educator and a lifelong learner myself. And then I will be kinder to myself in the process. Yeah.
Gotcha, man. And if you ever need a reminder, now you got like a little audio clip. Recommend you set it as an alarm. All right, moving on to the closeout questions, man. This next one is actually from my previous guest. I can't even read my writing right now. Kind of sucks. So I got to shout out to Christian. I'm going to reuse your question for this one. And I apologize to my last guest. I can't read my writing. I'd have to listen to our interview one more time. But Christian's question for you, Mr. Coop, and since, you know, you're a music guy, what is your send-off music? You know, like if once you're done with this world and you transition to the next, what song would you like to be playing? For me, I don't know if you're familiar with Mac Miller, but he had this song called Come Back to Earth.
I love that one,
dude. So yeah. that ended up being my answer.
Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah, that's a good song. Similar for me, it'd be a similar kind of vein of music. Anderson .Paak, my favorite artist. For me, it would probably be I don't know, between two. It's his two opening songs on his album Malibu, which are The Bird and Heart Don't Stand a Chance, I believe is what it's called.
Gotcha.
Those two. I can't pick between them, but
no worries. We just know to put on Malibu by Anderson .Paak, man.
yeah, that whole album, hey, it's good for me.
Yeah, man. Have you seen him live yet?
Oh, yes.
Oh, dude.
I tell everyone that I meet, like, it's essential viewing. It's unreal how talented he is, and the energy that, like, he can create is second to none. It's wild.
I hear that, man. I don't know if you got to see him this in December. He came out with Hey Tronada, but he was DJ Pee-wee at that time. So he got on the drums at some point, and we were like, going crazy, because I knew he was going to do that. He can't help himself. He's that kind of performer.
Yeah, no.
Second to last question for you, Coop, is what would you like to ask the next guest on 34 Questions?
Let's see. I think my question to the next guest would be, ooh, that last one was such a good question that your previous guest asked. I think it would be, I'll keep it music themed and kind of sports themed. Because I was a baseball player growing up, I'm gonna say, what would be your walk up song if you were going up to bat? Like,
ooh,
you know,
yeah,
either to kind of get hyped or get calm, you know, just get your mind right before getting up to the plate. What would it be?
I gotcha. I like to answer this last question. I don't know if you are familiar with Invincible. It's like a TV show on Amazon Prime. There was a theme song to one of the characters called, I think it's What You Want or When You Want by Spielberg. It's not a hip hop song, more like indie rock kind of ish. But yeah, oh dude, if you haven't heard that one, check that one out. Spielberg, like
Spielberg.
Yeah, it's SPEELBURG. When You Want. I'll probably show it to you tomorrow if you don't get a chance to listen to it right now. But that currently, I feel like I have a pump up song, you know, once a month that I want to listen to first thing in the morning to get my day rolling. So that's the flavor of the month.
Nice.
And my last question for you, Mr. Coop, 100, 200, 300 years from now, our descendants are watching this video. What would you like to tell them?
I think I would like to tell them, to not be afraid of thinking and their mind. What I mean by that is, like, don't be afraid to think beyond, you know, what people say. It's okay to, you know, be thinking about, like, let your mind kind of explore the world without fear, and I think that's the best way to kind of prepare yourself for life and whatever it's going to take you, is just, you know, don't limit your mind. and don't be afraid to let it roam.
Gotcha. I hear you. They hear you. And any last things you'd like to add before we head out of here?
Just thank you for having me. This is my first time being on a podcast and stuff, so hopefully it was a good conversation. I enjoyed myself. You were a great host, and we'll definitely, I feel like I've gotten to know you a little bit better, and so I feel like we'll be able to chop it up even more in the workplace.
For sure, man. Yeah, and thank you for stopping by, man. I don't know if you need the reminder, but I think you're doing a great job. Keep doing what you're doing. And yeah, man, thank you again. I want to thank the folks out there. If you tuned in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube, thank you for your time as well. Please remember to reach out, reach forward. As always, much love. And we'll catch you guys next time. 34 questions. Peace. And I'll let the credits roll from there.